Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of the Mess Mixologist. Thanks for joining us this week. Today we're going to speak to Matt Mahatme, the co-founder of Lixia Drinks, about their range of tonics and their quest to get a new emoji listed. So with no further ado, we shall cut to the interview with him, and then we're going to come back to the HMS Spirits Bar and we're going to make his favourite cocktail. Enjoy the interview, guys, and I'll see you in a bit. Right, guys, I'd like to welcome Matt Mahatme, the co-founder of Lixia Drinks, to the show. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Ben, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How about we start off with you introducing yourself and a little bit about Lixia?
Yeah, awesome. So Lixia is a range of all-natural, low-calorie mixers. Founded the business about 2 or 3 years ago now with my business partner, Jordan, who's a close childhood friend of mine. We've worked in the spirits industry for a while, both ex-bartenders, and 2018 launched Lixia.
Okay, so for those people that don't know out there, how do you make tonic water and what makes Lixia tonic water so special?
It's a funny one, really. When we first started, it was a case of we were just making recipes on our stove, and that was making tonic syrups with loads of sugar, the quinine, which comes from the bark of a tree that you find in sort of Asia and Africa as well. And we were making those in our kitchen, adding spring water to kind of get a tonic, so to speak. Now it's kind of obviously that we're at an industrial scale, it is a lot less sexy. It doesn't follow the distillation process like a gym might do, but it is essentially taking natural ingredients and natural extracts out of things like fruit, like our rhubarb, etc. It goes into a huge vat, it's mixed alongside obviously water, all the other key ingredients, fruit, sugar, and then it gets put through a line and carbonated.
Okay, so you've got a nice mix of flavours in the range. I'm a big fan, and we've drunk plenty together as well. What's the inspiration behind the flavours, and what flavours have you got in the range at the moment?
Yeah, so we were actually just going to launch with just flavours. We do have a standard and a light, though. So we've got a classic Indian and a light, which you've got there in front of you.
I've got it, okay.
So our classics are yellow, obviously, and the light is our blue. So what kind of makes us different? We basically use a lot less quinine than kind of mainstream brands. So when people say they don't like a gin and tonic, but they like vodka, it's obviously normally, you all know well, it's normally the tonic that they're not really liking because of the quinine. They're like, oh, it tastes disgusting. You think, oh, no, you're just missing out because of kind of that chemically taste that quinine can have. So we use a natural quinine, and we really dialed it back so that it was something that Jordan and I would want to drink ourselves. And basically what it gives you is a really light, almost like a light Pinot Grigio. You kind of get a dry mouthfeel, but you don't get a bit of taste. And there's a difference between your kind of mouthfeel and the taste there. So we use a really low amount of quinine in all of our tonics. And then, we've got three flavours in the range as well. So we've got a rhubarb and ginger, which is really popular. Rhubarbs, everyone gets it. Loves it.
Yeah.
Elderflower and lemon, and then a blood orange and cinnamon. So inspirations behind those were just we wanted drinks that were easy for consumers to understand, that people would just kind of get, okay, I know what elderflower and lemon might taste like, and it really were just sort of refreshing and ideally would kind of cover the full kind of year. When you want something more earthy and warm, the winter we've just had and snow, having a blood orange and cinnamon is really kind of hearty. Rhubarb and ginger is an all-round winner, and obviously elderflower, it's just summer, isn't it?
Yeah, all of those. I mean, we've drunk plenty of those together.
Yeah, love it. Cinnamon dreadnought, Ben, love it.
Yes, it's good. So what would you say, it's only been 3 years, but what's your biggest achievement to date with Lixia?
I think obviously expanding the team was obviously pretty awesome. To do that was, there's a goal for both Jordan and I. But I'd say there's sort of two that sort of really stand out. One is obviously exporting. So like we've been abroad and seen Lixia on a shelf, in Belgium, in Portugal. And that's kind of a bit mind blowing when you think about when we started, in our kitchen, and like actually the time it took us to get there was quite quick. So I'd say that was pretty cool. And then, we've got a listing at Selfridges in their bars in their London store. And obviously that, people around the globe know who Selfridges are, and to have that kind of on our sort of, brand resume is really cool as well. So I'd say those two, and the fact that we have a wicked time doing it, is a pretty good achievement. Loving life.
I think that's really important, to enjoy what you do, and you boys certainly do always seem like you're having a good time on the journey.
And that's kind of really what we're about as a brand, and why our flavours aren't super super complex and complicated. We don't use anything that most consumers wouldn't understand or wouldn't know what the taste of it would be, because you know, we want basically to create mixers that are used at, you know, occasions where people are having a good time, and we kind of want drinking to be about that. You know, you can get quite lost when you're in the drinks world, around, you know, amazing different ingredients, really, really quirky cocktails, but actually some of the simplest and most refreshing things are the best ones. And really we want people to focus on just a good quality drink and having fun, which is why we all drink anyway.
Yeah, true. So, and on the subject of fun, you guys have just launched a new campaign. So I think if we quickly play your new campaign for people, and then we come back in, I want you to tell me where it came about from. So if we press play, guys, have a watch of this, and we'll be back for a chat in a sec.
Hang on. There isn't a gin and tonic emoji. Us Brits drink around 2.3 billion G&Ts every year. No judgment, lockdown's been hard for everyone. That's a lot of good times. A lot of Zoom parties. And a lot of, well, it's 5 p.m. somewhere, right? We think it's about time that the gin lovers of the world got the emoji they deserve. So we're asking you to sign our petition to ask the emoji makers for a gin and tonic emoji.
Okay, Matt, so we're missing a G&T emoji. Where did this idea pop up from?
I would love to take, you know, Jordan and I think would love to be able to take credit for the idea, but Harriet, who's in our team, and a woman that we use, Rachel, who's doing some sort of marketing for us, they kind of suggested it and said, actually, it's just criminal we don't use it, because we obviously, you know, we WhatsApp as a team all the time, and actually, as soon as they pointed out that we don't have one, we're like, that's just absolutely crazy. You've got rum, wine, your beer, wine, and gin and tonic is huge. Obviously, so, you know, stats in a video show, and it is kind of frustrating not having one. It's one of those things you don't really notice that it's not there, and until you kind of, you know, think hard about it and go, actually, every time I want to message someone specifically for a G&T, there just hasn't been one. You know, there's two different types of camel. You know, like, I don't need to tell the difference. You know, if I'm going to say I'm going on a safari or whatever, no one needs to know whether the camels are, you know, Dropodus or whatever it is with two humps or one. You know, there's a virus one. We all, you know, had enough of the virus this year. That's got its own emoji. Just want to give people what, you know, the emoji they deserve, basically. It's a bit of lighthearted fun in what's been a pretty difficult time.
I love it. And when's the hope that we're going to see this on our keyboards?
Yeah, so we obviously need as many people as possible to sign the petition, obviously share the words. So I think Unicode, who create the emojis, they have like submissions twice a year, I think it is in April. So I'm not sure when it would come out, but we're ideally, you know, trying to get a real good traction together to pitch them sort of around end of March, April time. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we leave a lasting legacy and we get the emoji we all deserve.
I love it. I'm looking forward to it. And everyone, please share it if you can as well. Let's spread the word and give you the emoji you deserve. Mm. So, Matt, you've worked in a lot of bars. You visit a lot of bars in your role in the job now. So where would you say is the best place you've had a drink, and what was it?
Yeah, like it's a really difficult one. I'd say my favourite place to drink is probably at a pub called The Garrison, which is in Bermondsey. It's quite famous, it's steeped in history, it's one of the oldest pubs in the whole of London. Obviously Lixus stopped there, which is obviously a massive tip, but they've got a really good selection of draft, and it's kind of more of kind of a posh kind of bistro food bar pub, as well as kind of the, you know, just a good general atmosphere that a pub would have. But the food is like, it's all British, it's all seasonal, and they tend to have quite a limited menu choice, which I love because I'm quite indecisive when it comes to ordering off a menu. But the atmosphere in there is amazing, and you know, it's, the place is steeped in history. It's kind of what a pub really should be, basically.
Okay, and the worst drink you've been served, where is that?
I've had one really bad experience, which is kind of, it wasn't necessarily in a drinking environment, but I did a short stint working for Guinness, for Diageo, and you know, part of the role was obviously checking on accounts that were serving Guinness and making sure they were serving it properly, you know, correct level of head and all the kind of stuff that makes Guinness, you know, the amazing drink, you know, that it is.
Yep.
And I went into one account, which obviously won't be named, and they were basically complaining, oh, no one drinks the Guinness, doesn't sell, da, da, da. And I said, oh, do you mind if I sort of take a look at the keg and the lines? And he poured one and I tried it and it was disgusting. Didn't pour it properly. There was no head on it and it was just vile. And I went downstairs and had a look in the cellar and the keg was about 12 months out of date. Which for a stout is, you know, incredible. You know, it's going to affect taste a humongous amount. It was basically off. This is why no one's reordering it.
You're pouring rancid Guinness to people. No wonder they don't want to drink it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's probably the worst, I'd say. Definitely my Country Mile.
Okay. I mean, we're going to go on to make this, and I have had the heads up because I needed to make sure I had the ingredients. But for everyone watching, what's your favourite cocktail?
I love a Godfather. I've got a bit of a sweet tooth for a bloke, but I'm a big fan of amaretto. Just really like it. And then obviously, yeah, whiskey is I do really like a whiskey. And I just find out that the complement of the two is nice.
Okay, so after this, we'll go on to make it, and then hopefully you can judge me afterwards on if it's been made to your kind of levels. So if you could share a cocktail with anyone alive or dead, who would it be?
This is, again, a really hard one. I feel like it's kind of two, so it's kind of cheating. I think if it was a celebrity, I'd say, I know he's obviously got aviation gin, but prior to that, I'd have said Ryan Reynolds. I'm a huge fan, Wilder fan. I think he's hilarious. I think he's one of those guys that is actually just generally funny in real life, you know, off screen. And the fact that now I know he appreciates a good drink, I'd probably say Ryan Reynolds. And then on a kind of more somber note, I'd probably say my grandma is no longer with us. She like passed away just before, about a month before we had our first production run. So I'd love to have been able to share that moment. Obviously, her being able to see Elixir. So I'd share a G&T with her if I could. I could do that, but both of them together would be the idea. I think she'd love it.
But she'd be with Ryan Reynolds, just chugging away.
You wouldn't get her off him.
I love it. Okay, so what plans have you got for Elixir in the future?
Yeah, so we just obviously done our rebrand last year. So obviously getting the word out about obviously the new brand, kind of our ethos a little bit more. And hopefully, obviously, touch wood, just increasing our presence in the UK will be a prime focus for the next year. So when pubs are open, we can all go out and have a few drinks. It's just to increase our distribution, make Elixir more widely available in pubs and bars, and then also just online. And hopefully, if we can break into retail, which would be amazing.
Okay. I'm looking forward to come up to London for this drink we keep promising we're going to meet up for.
I know. I want to get out on a yacht. But,
You're welcome down whenever you like. So before we wrap up, can you tell people where they can buy Elixir and how they can follow you guys through your socials?
Yeah, so we're on obviously all the main socials. If you just search Elixir on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we're also obviously on LinkedIn for anyone from a business side. Search Elixir, you'll find us. I think Elixir Drinks UK on Instagram, Elixir Drinks on Facebook. And then, if you www.elixirdrinks.co.uk, you can buy us online there. You know, we ship direct to consumer via our website. We do, we're on listening on Amazon and a few of the other, you know, craft gin clubs. We're on their website as well. So, yeah, a few places.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, mate.
Ben, I'm intrigued. Before you wrap up, I'm intrigued to know who you would choose as your who you'd have a drink with, dead or alive.
Who I would choose? Mate, you've put me on the spot now. Again, I think on a somber note like you, my granddad would definitely be one of them. Again, it's nice to kind of share that moment and show them perhaps what you've built would be there. And then in terms of celebrities, there's one, but I don't want to name them because I'd actually like to get them involved in the company at some point. And I might have to go off cam and tell you that my crazy idea for a kind of front man.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You have to. You can't leave me hanging like that. You have to tell me.
I'll tell you once we go off camera. All right, Matt. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to go on to make the cocktail after we've had a chin wag, and speak to you soon.
Yeah. Take care, pal.
Cheers, mate.
Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed that. Matt, thanks ever so much for joining us. We shall keep everyone informed on your campaign for the emoji, and hopefully we'll see a gin and tonic one on the phone soon. So, you mentioned the Godfather cocktail. Not overly well known, but a beautiful classic. Dates back to about the 1970s. Historically, it's 50-50 Scotch to Amaretto. You don't have to use Scotch. You could use a single malt. You could go for something a little bit more peaty. A little bit more smoky, or you could use a bourbon if you want something that's a little bit more sweeter and spicy. And then we've got the Italian liqueur Amaretto, made from almonds and the stone fruit pits. I actually ran out of amaretto, so I've run to the local pub and they've managed to decant some for me for the cocktail. So yeah, we'll get going with that. Historically, like I say, it's 50-50 split. We're actually going to use a recipe from Michael Deutsch, who wrote the whiskey-specific book, A Spirited Story. He uses a little less than 50-50. Amaretto can be a little bit too sweet, so this keeps the drink a little bit drier, a little bit more boozy. It allows the whiskey to still be on the forefront of the palate, but has that tiny sweetness coming through at the end. So, let's get started. For drinks like this, I like, and the new craze tends to be a large sphere into the glass. That's a bit loud. And then over that, I'm using Glenkinchie. Now this is a single malt, but it's a single malt from the Lowlands. It's not very smoky, it's pretty delicate. I had the fortunate time to go and visit the distillery, meet the master distiller, and I bought the bottle, but there's still that nice sweetness. I think this is gonna work beautifully in the cocktail. So for this, we're putting in 60 mils, which is 2 ounces of the whiskey, poured over the sphere. And added to that, just 7 mils, a quarter of an ounce of the amaretto. You can see the viscosity from there, go in there and blend nicely. Then all you're gonna do is give it a nice little stir to cool it down. And I like to garnish just a nice slice of orange there. And that is your Godfather, people. Cheers. Hope you enjoy, Matt. Oh, that's beautiful. See you next week, folks. We've got another interview for you. Someone based in the yachting industry. And they're going to give us their insights and their favourite drinks as well. So we'll catch you then. Stay safe and see you soon. Thanks. Bye.